Hello and welcome to the J-Rod Sports Pod with me, James Robson.
And me, Ollie Dix.
So today, Ollie and I, we liked the pint-sized podcast that we did last week. So we're going to do another one of them this week. Just a quick 15, 16 minutes where we just run through some of the big news and headlines from around the world of sports that have caught our eye. So let's jump straight into the conversation that we're having about sports this week. Right, sorry, let's start with the NFL quickly. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers were absolutely pumped by the New Orleans Saints, 38-3, Sunday night football. I'm not going to lie, as a Patriots fan, I'm not sad.
No, it's interesting that you went straight to that dilemma, needing to go to a game-winning final drive by Cam to beat the New York Jets. Hey. Win's a win.
And the Buccaneers lost this week.
I mean, to go into it more, are the Bucs overrated? Are they overrated internally to think that they could win a football game only rushing the ball five times? And one of those times was when Blaine Gabbert at the end of the game kneeled. You know, it's not a balanced offense. We talk about this wide receiver group being one of the best to ever be probably put together. And, you know, they need that balance, surely.
Yeah, I think it's not overrated. I don't think this is in no way panic stations. This is in no way the Buccaneers are crap. We've seen this from Tom in New England, and we've seen this from, you know, BA's, Bruce Arians' teams have had this as well in the past, where they just, you know, one game, they just get it really wrong. And when the games matter, they don't. So I'm not too concerned, to be honest. I think Tampa Bay will still be, are still for me, one of the favourites to go to the Super Bowl.
Did this, because we had a conversation in the week, not on the podcast, but both had the belief that a four-year-old could throw the ball further than Drew Brees at the moment. It's not exactly the strongest arm in the world.
Yeah.
Did this change your mind about him? Did that make you think, I don't believe in the cliff argument, but is he on a downward slope still, or is this very much a leveled out field now for him?
To me, I think, I wouldn't say it didn't settle my nerves about Drew Brees. It didn't turn around to me and say he's all the way back. It told me that it could still work, but it looked like it was, you know, it looked the most vulnerable that it has.
Was this game more of a bad Bucs than a good Saints?
Yeah. I think so.
Do you think the Saints are now top of the NFC South?
Mm-hmm.
Is that the case at the end of the year? Do the Bucs go via the wild card route, like that we saw the Titans go through last year? Or do you think actually the regular season games coming through that the Saints will, their record will level out a bit and the Bucs will just keep playing?
I think the Bucs will win it.
Okay.
Because I think we've seen through the seasons that Brees' arm drops off as it gets further, you know, as he's got more throws in the tank.
And this was the first time that a division team had swept Brady in a season. 2-0, the Saints are against Brady this year. They won't play him again. It's the first time in his career that he's ever been swept by an in-division team. What does this say about that record? Dan Marino, I think, was next best at 13 seasons.
Bill. It was all Bill.
You mean the Bills?
It was all Bill. Right, the other game that I quickly want to touch on was the Dolphins beat the Cardinals in the battle of the number one picks.
Yep.
Not number one picks. First round draft picks.
No, but they are the first two quarterbacks to face off against each other who both wear the number one jersey.
Huh.
So there's your fun fact.
Fun fact. I thought Arizona were going to walk this, but Tua's a guy. The Dolphins have got a guy.
I didn't know whether you'd go on this or not, because you were a bit unsure about the Fitzpatrick decision, weren't you?
I just thought it was early. And I thought they got screwed over by the bye week changing.
Yeah.
And if it ain't broke, don't fix it, my mentality. And it wasn't broke with Fitzmagic.
But you think Tua's here to stay?
Yeah. Actually, knuckling down and seriously looking at it, this might be one of the most promising rookie quarterback classes we've seen in a very long time.
That's big.
Because the top three are all playing.
Yep.
And they're all playing well. Like, I think Joe Burrow, Cincinnati fans can be very relaxed in the fact that we've got our franchise quarterback.
For the next 4 years at least.
Yeah. The Chargers are in the exact same position with Justin Herbert. They gotta love him. He's so talented that they can sort out the scheme around him, kind of.
I just hope they win some games at some point.
Yeah.
They've had too many close games or where they've blown leads, and that's going to knock his confidence, I think, early in his NFL career.
But I think he's kept them in those games.
That's fair.
And then the Dolphins, this seems like the electric start from Tua that we thought we'd get. It might well be one of the best rookie quarterback classes we've seen in a while.
I think, I agree. I think when you look at them, this is certainly one of the best classes we've seen within the first 8 weeks of their career. Even like if you look at your quarterbacks that may have they only started 2 years into their career, like A-Rod or like Brady, you know, etc. These guys are all starting. It's the start of their career. They've not really sat behind anyone, even Tua or Herbert. Like, not really. You know, I wouldn't say 6 weeks sat behind Fitzpatrick is something that's going to give you a lifetime of, knowledge. And so to be playing this well so early on in the career, I think, is what speaks to their quality.
I've got one more fun fact for you.
Oh, I love these.
About the NFL at the moment. So the Philadelphia Eagles are on top of the NFC East.
No one knows how.
They're 3-4-1. So they've won 3, lost 4, drawn 1.
Yep.
The Pittsburgh Steelers are 8-0.
Yep.
In the AFC North. AFC?
Yep.
AFC North. Statistically, the Philadelphia Eagles are more likely to win the NFC East than the Pittsburgh Steelers are to win the AFC North. How? How is that possible?
I mean, I think it says more about the NFC East than it does about the AFC North. But we've also said this AFC North is not easy.
No.
Those Ravens are pretty good. I think the craziest thing is that the closest the Steelers have come to losing is against the Cowboys this weekend. Like, the Cowboys just seem to be on a bit of a don't care kind of mood. And, you know, one of their kick returns or punt returns, when they do the lateral pass and run it down the other side.
Do you see what happened to get that, to create that kind of space?
Yeah.
He ran and faked a hamstring injury.
It's crazy.
He's limping down the field so that everyone was we'll covering him.
But that's almost the excitement that I think they need, to bring about fun football in Dallas, so that it then doesn't become such a depressing place to be, which it has been for the past 8 weeks.
Right, let's turn our attention quickly to the NBA, because a start date has been agreed for the 2020 to 2021 season. And I think the main thing for us to look at is, we all know how important recovery is sort of after a season, especially an NBA season where you're playing so many games, you're playing week in, week out, day in, day out, and it's a grueling schedule. Then you add into the fact that they were in a bubble for, you know, some teams a couple of months. the teams that weren't in the bubble will have had a 9-month off season.
Yeah.
The teams that were in the bubble all the way, 72 days.
Yeah.
That is an alarming difference. And that's a difference that you feel.
Oh, for sure. I mean, to the point that I think, you know, LeBron early doors was very much like he was going to cherry pick those first, like, 3 months of the season as to what games he played, because, like, the rest that he needs. Like, we talk about him going into his 18th season, but with the amount of playoff games that he's played, he's almost played, like, an entire season again and, like, and then some.
Yeah.
So, like, the load on that man's legs is like, heinous. And so for him to be like, yeah, playing again after 72 days, especially after the shift that they put in, is incredible. And, you know, he said he'd miss them, and then he said, nah, he'll play them properly, because he knows what that means to the NBA as a company, as a business. For him to not be playing, those primetime games become pretty irrelevant. And so I think that's big for him. How much, we've both done sessions with not a lot of rest, and it doesn't really relate in totality, but how big is this reality? Like, does the time off that you have, how quickly you get back into your schedule, like, how will players deal with this? And ultimately, like, how can you manage this?
The main thing for me is the mental side. Like, especially you've got guys that have been away from family, friends, loved ones in the bubble for months. What was it, 2 months? Almost 3 months they were away.
Yeah, best part of 3 months.
Yeah. So you then get them back for a month, and then they're back in training camps. They're back in, you know, two-a-day training sessions to try and get themselves back in playing shape. Whereas you've got guys that, since March, have been spending all the time they want with their family, recovering, resting, working on bits of their game that need working on. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if a team like the Warriors comes out the gates absolutely smoking hot, because not only have they got a top five draft pick and players coming back who had, I mean, they had no business being in the position they were in.
No.
They're rested, they're fresh, they're hungry, they're excited. They get to play basketball again. First time in almost a year. Like,
Are they? Because I would agree. That exact statement was on the tip of my tongue. Are they your preseason favourites? Purely out of the rest concept. Like, Clay's been allowed to rehab, completely get his body back to a position where he's probably going to play some of the best basketball he's ever played. We've never seen Steph have so much of a break to be the player, and actually it allows them to work together as a team again. And I think that would be quite interesting to see. Obviously not 73-9, but
I'm going to throw one spanner in the works.
Go on.
The Nets. Why? I think the Nets could be a spanner in the works here.
But not in the West.
No. But I'm saying, just like in general, I think the team that comes out of this better might well be the Nets.
Because KD and Kyrie have had such a long time to recover.
Yeah.
And rehab.
Yeah. And learn, like, figure out how to play with each other.
Yeah. That would be interesting.
That would be exciting to watch. I think it's the most excited I've been to watch the first 20 games of the season.
Yeah, and I think, like, you look at the West, and okay, like, you've got, like, the Lakers, Clippers, the Mavericks will be exciting next year. Like you said, the Warriors will be back up there. The Rockets will be a very different team next year. But actually, you look at the East and you think the East is almost as competitive as it ever has been. It's because you have the Bucks, the Celtics, you know, the Raptors, the Heat. Everyone's going to expect more from them this year. But then, like you said, like, the Sixers have had a little mini rebuild. They're looking to try and trade for James Harden, apparently, you know. And then you say, like, the Nets are there as well. Like, these are all teams that, okay, they were in the playoffs, but, like, if you're outside the playoffs in the East, you've got to do something big to break in again.
Yeah, definitely. Right, last thing, Ollie, we've got to talk about before we head off into the night, is it's one of the biggest weeks in golf of the year.
Yep.
It's Masters week, finally. Didn't think it was coming at points this season, but it is finally here. We've just been, you know, we've been sort of ramping up and watching bits and bobs here and there. We've heard from our trusty recording mate, Matt, who is sat just to my left, not listening. I don't think he's got his noise-cancelling
headphones on.
Yeah, from Bose. But Sandy Lyle went out and played a round of golf with, a practice round with Bryson DeChambeau. And apparently Bryson flew the third hole, which is a 350-yard par four.
Yep.
Flew the green with a 3-wood off the tee. Do we think this is...
I mean, I'm sorry, that's just insane.
Absolutely obscene.
Yep.
Is this Bryson's? He is in my... He's one of the guys I bet on.
Really?
Yeah. So I put £10 on this.
I definitely think... So we've seen, you know, like you think back to when Tiger was first there and, you know, guys had never seen someone consistently hit it as far as he did, you know, and they were giving so much up on the fairway that's why the gap was so big back to everyone else. Now, do I think, okay, Bryson can absolutely smash it, but consistently it's still quite wayward. And I still think his ball control isn't as much there as it potentially...
Isn't what Augusta needs.
No.
Like, it Augusta needs ball control.
Yeah, for sure. Like, if you go wayward off a tee, like, you're in thick rough. You're in trouble quite early doors. You're not able to work your way out of it without dropping shots. And I think that's what you'll see. I think this year you'll see someone like Brooks... I think Koepka should be odds-on favourite to just walk this. Someone who can consistently, like, hit the ball well, hit the ball far, but also, like, he's got a bit of a level head. He's not going to be forced into it. He's been in big moments before, you know, and I think he's ready, I think, for a big major, and I think this is what it is. And the romance of, like, the Masters, I think, has his name written on it.
That's good, because I bet on him as well. I kind of agree. I've whacked a pound each way as well on Ian Poulter, which, if that comes off, £125 return.
Yeah, I mean, that's just a pound wasted.
Well, if he finishes in the top 10, I get 25.
Right, again, a pound wasted. And Poulter is only good when it comes to the Ryder Cup, and that's about it.
I mean, that's absolutely savage.
But it's the truth.
It's absolutely savage. Last year, he was in the top 10.
So? Fluke.
I hope, for your sake, you retract that statement at some point over the next 5 days. Otherwise, we're going to have an issue with our living situation.
Absolutely not. The Masters is different, though, isn't it? Compared to every other major. There's something different about Augusta, isn't there? There's a bit of a romance to it, and there seems to always be... It's a story being told there, isn't it? Rather than... You know, a typical golf tournament.
It is, and I think one of the things that it makes it so different is the fact that it's always at the same place.
Yeah.
So, like, the other majors all travel around, they, you know, but the Masters is always at Augusta, and it's a golf course that is so steeped in history that everything has happened there. You've seen Tiger winning by 12 shots, and you've seen, you know, things like Molinari getting to the 12th last year in the lead and putting one in the drink and essentially losing the tournament there and then.
For sure.
So everywhere you turn, there's a great moment and there's a catastrophic failure staring you right in the face. And it's such a mental game to make sure that you can draw from the great moment and ignore the failures.
No, 100%. Favourite Masters moment?
It's got... I mean, last year was very, very special.
It's hard not to say Tiger either way, isn't it, really?
Yeah. I'm still... The chip. The chip in, was it 2004?
Yeah. When it rolls, just the Nike tick shows, and then it drops.
Yeah, I think that is one of the most amazing golf shots I've ever seen. Because you look at where he lands it, and it literally turns 90 degrees.
Yeah.
What about yours?
No, I think last year was so, like, amazing. Like, I grew up at a very young age, and Tiger was almost always prominent. It was always winning. And then almost during my teen years, that was when he had his bad time, and like it almost went away. And that was the period that I wish I'd been able to literally every weekend sit down and watch Tiger. So to then be able to, you know, you sit and you watch all these old films, and then last year be able to sit and watch him make this incredible comeback that was just full of emotion, you know, the return of the Tiger, it was just incredible. And I don't think you'll ever see anything really like that. Such a massive gap between like your last win and then like your most like recent win, I think is massive. Yeah.
Right, so thank you very much for listening to that episode of the J-Rod Sports Pod. Tune in on, it'll probably be Saturday morning, where we look back at the first round, maybe a bit of the second round of the Masters, and then look forward to a big weekend of sport. But until then, please make sure that you be a friend and tell a friend about the J-Rod Sports Pod.